Yitzchak and Rivka met, how they got to, who introduced them and how they got married. And later the Chumash is going to describe how Yaakov and his wives met, and how Moshe Rabbeinu met his wife. And Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchever points out in his Sefer HaChumash, in Kedushas Levi, the Torah never tells us how Avraham Avinu met his wife. How come? So he gives the following answer. He says that the Chumash is not intended to serve as a biography of the Tzaddikim. It's the Chumash, how they got to, who introduced them and how they got married. And later the Chumash is going to describe how Yaakov and his wives met, and how Moshe Rabbeinu met his wife. And Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchever points out in his Sefer HaChumash, in Kedushas Levi, the Torah never tells us how Avraham Avinu met his wife. How come? So he gives the following answer. He says that the Chumash is not intended to serve as a biography of the Tzaddikim. It's the Chumash is supposed to tell us how we're supposed to lead our lives. So Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu, when they met their wives, they were Torah personalities, and this is relevant to us, how they met their wives, so we should learn things from them. Avraham Avinu was a Nachri at the time that he met his wife. Some he met her at a New Year's Eve party, or something worse. So what's the significance? And they became observant later, they became monotheists, and they became religious later, so it's not really relevant. Maybe the Torah isn't, maybe we said the Torah is not a biography of the Tzaddikim. Maybe it is a biography of the Tzaddikim. But when you write a biography of Tzaddikim, you're not supposed to write the things that are irrelevant. You only write the things that that the Doris HaBoim are supposed to be learning from. That's what the Kedushas Levi writes. It's interesting. The Chumash tells us the way Yitzchak Avinu had very little to do with arranging his shidduch. It was all arranged by his father. We're brought up in a generation where people are not used to that. We're brought up in that part of the world where the parents have nothing to do with, don't have too much to do with arranging for our marriages, and we often don't listen to our parents when it comes to shidduchim. Now that I belong to the parents' union, so I can speak from the perspective of the parents, even if the children are brighter than the parents, the Gemara has an expression, even if the parents are not as bright as their children, but they have much more life's experience. And the children said they know how to notice things that the children may not notice. Take for example, what's the whole purpose of getting married? The purpose of getting married is to have children. So last week somebody was here from Dor Yeshorim talking to me about genetic testing. That in all the Chassidish yeshivas and all the right-wing yeshivas, they do the genetic testing for the boys and girls in Yeshiva University, which should have been the first place that should test. Torah Mada, you know, we should be the first ones to use whatever is available for modern medicine in order to secure that our children should be healthy. We don't, they tried it here, and it was a miserable failure. The students didn't want to have the genetic testing. So the fellow was talking with me for an hour, the way we have to introduce the testing. So then right after he left, he was talking to the basement. Right after he left, the boy came over, and he's telling me an issue that he has, that he's engaged, and he's going to get married, and Oifrof, a Shiloh, with the shul, with the machitz and everything. So I said, by the way, did you have the genetic testing thing? He said, what's that? You never heard of that. The guy's going to get married without genetic testing. What's the whole purpose of getting married? To have children. What, do you want to have sick children? That's elementary. In case people don't know what's elementary, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara that you shouldn't marry a girl from a family where they know that they have sicknesses, and the boy and the girl should marry a boy from a family where they know that they have sicknesses. The whole purpose of getting married is to have children who should be healthy. Of course, if there are sicknesses that can be avoided, whatever you don't know, you don't know, but if there are sicknesses that can be avoided by seeing to it that they're not both carriers of the same sickness, so that's a double pashut. So a lot of times the parents would understand this better than the children. The children are just in love with the girl, whatever they think in love means. And love is an important thing. The Gemara has the Gemara talks about the mitzvah, the haptal racha kamoich, and the Gemara says that it doesn't apply equally to all people. You have to love your wife more than you love your next door neighbor's wife. No, that's how the Gemara says. You have to love your friends and relatives more than you love strangers. It's not Re'acho, it's everybody equally. So the Gemara says, Oy, v'sishti k'gufoy. M'chabda yosem k'gufoy. Yeah, there has to be a lot of love. There has to be a lot of love for the wife. But when you read today's parsha, it describes the way Yitzchak marries Rivka. After they got married, then he loves her. So how did he know in advance? Apparently it's a different kind of love. It's not when you fall in love, then you marry the girl. Fall in love means like in the movies. You fall in love like the movie stars. No. So here it says that he developed a love afterwards. It's supposed to be a different kind of love. He's supposed to look for different things in marriage. You have to see to it that the girl should be a balabusta, that she knows how to bake, and she knows how to keep a clean house, and she knows how to dress normally. What, you just want to have a girl who dresses nicely on dates, and after she lands her husband, then she'll dress like a slob, and she won't dress, and she won't make her hair nicely. You have to make sure you want to have a girl who's always going to look good, not just on the dates. So you have to make sure that the girl is not fooling you, that she doesn't just dress up for the dates. It has to be a different kind of love. It has to be a love. You love the midas that the girl has. The Gemara speaks about the importance of marrying a bas talmid chacham. What's so significant about marrying a bas talmid chacham? So the Gemara says, in case I'll die, my wife will raise the children properly. In case the wife is not a bas talmid chacham, that's the reason that the Gemara gives. In case the wife is not a bas talmid chacham, in case the husband will die, she'll probably go back to her parents' home. And then they'll be raising their children like Goyim, or like non-observant Jews, or like Amei Haaretz. So that husband, even though he passed away, will be very upset about this, to know that his children are being raised like that. So you have to marry a girl whom you know are going to raise your children. That's what you're supposed to look for in marriage. I don't know what exactly people are looking for. People are just looking for the good looks. The good looks are not going to last forever. We hope they do last forever. And you have to marry a girl whom you know, whom you're convinced is going to dress nicely for the 70 years that you're going to live with her after you'll be married, not just on the dates. Anyway, so one of the main things in marriage is you have to look at to make sure that you should be able to have healthy children. So that's very important, to check to make sure that there are no sicknesses, and to check if there are sicknesses that can be easily avoided. If a couple is married already, and then they realize that they're both carriers of a disease, so they have either the option of getting divorced, and each one should marry someone else, or they can practice birth control and then start having in vitro fertilization, which is a terrible thing. That's a tough. But people, before they get engaged, before they get married, people decided, even though they realize that they're both carriers, they're going to get married, and they'll practice birth control all the time, and then they're going to have in vitro fertilization. That's normal. People are doing that. People from our yeshiva are doing that. Because they're so medically advanced, they're so advanced that they understand all about birth control, they understand all about the in vitro fertilization. That's not normal. Normal is you make sure that you're not both carriers of the disease, so you won't have the problem. Well, you have to look for problems. The Gemara in the beginning of Kiddushin points out that there are three different ways to get married. There's Kesef, the Shtar, and there's Bia. And the Gemara says that by the Umas Olam, there's only Kiddushi Bia, because it says in last week's Sedra, Vehi Bula Zoal, when Abimelech, Melech Plishtim, took Sora Eshes Avraham, or it's in Parshas Lech Lecha, I think. So it says, Hashav Eshes Shuish, Vehi Bula Zbal. So the Gemara says, Bula Zbal Yesh Lahem, Nichnas Eluchupa V'layniva La'ein Lahem. By the Umas Olam, the only form of Kiddushin is Kiddushi Bia. They don't have the other forms. Kiddush Abim implies that there's only a physical attraction to each other. There's only a physical connection between the husband and the wife. And the halacha says that by Bnei Yisrael, we not only have Kiddush Abim, which the Chachamim did away with, they prohibited Kiddush Abim, we have the other two forms of Kiddush Kesef and Kiddush Shtar. But there's no physical contact between the boy and the girl at the time of Kiddush. It's a kesher of neshamas. There's supposed to be a physical connection. There's supposed to be a spiritual connection as well. So the Gemara learns that from this parsha, the Kiddush Shtar is learned that from Makash Havayi Litzia. that we know that you do gerushin ayidei shtar. That's the only way to make gerushin. So we learn out makdish habay leitzir b'holcha b'hoysa b'shacha that you can do kiddushin ayidei shtar as well. How do you know that there's such a thing as kiddushin kesef? So the Gemara, the beginning of kiddushin, has two drushas, and one of them is the famous drusha kicha kicha misdeyefron, that the verb vayikach is kalartza miyodo. Here it says kach mimeni. The verb kicha appears over here in connection with Avraham Avinu purchasing the Maris HaMachpelah. And then in Chumash Dvarim it says regarding getting married, kikach ish isha chadosh. The verb kicha appears in connection with getting married. So the Gemara derives exereshava kicha kicha misdeyefron. So the maskilim over many generations used to make fun of the Rabbanim and the Gemara that they consider it like buying real estate. When you buy yourself a wife, it's like buying real estate. And they treat, and they assume that that's why they're going to treat their wives like their property. Why are they going to assume like that? What the Tanoim and the Amoraim treated their wives like property. And the Goyim treated the wives nicer than the Tanoim and Amoraim. We don't have any evidence to that effect at all. That the Tanoim treated their wives like they treat their property. It's not so. It is a little strange though. Why should they learn out Kicha Kicha Mistef? And it is a little strange. So Rabbi Hirsch has in his one of his essays on marriage, he has an interesting comment that the rabbis intended to learn out from Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron because the Pasuk tells us here the way Avraham Avinu loved his wife so much that he spent a fortune of money to buy a fancy burial site to bury her in after she passed away. He didn't want to bury her together with the Nochem. The Halacha says you're not permitted to bury Yisrael next to a Nochem. So he insisted he wants to buy a separate plot, and he paid a fortune of money. So the Pasuk describes the way he loved and cherished his wife, and he spent so much money for her even after she passed away. The Gemara has a din in Ksubis, that's what we're learning this year, that Oilo ima ve'eno yaredesimo. The Gemara has a drasha on the Pasuk v'hi bulas baal. Oilo ima ve'eno yaredesimo means like this. Let's say if a couple is married, and they're both from wealthy families, and the husband is making a very good living. He makes a lot of money. And the wife's family was always in the practice of going to Switzerland in the summertime, and they visited Yerushalayim Shalosh Regalim, and they go skiing or whatever. In the wintertime, they spend a lot of money on a lot of things. And the husband's family had a lot of money. He has a lot of money now, but they never spend so much money. They never splurge so much. So after the wife gets married and there's going to be a sichzuch between the husband and the wife says, hey, you're not treating me nicely. My father always took my mother, Shalosh Regalim, to Yerushalayim, and he always went skiing in the winter and over here in the summer and this and that. The husband says, well, my father never treated my mother like that. We never did. We never had such a practice. So the Gemara says that the wife is entitled to demand of the husband the fancier standard of living. And if it's the reverse also like that, let's say his family, they always spent a lot of money, and his mother always had a lot of dresses, and his sisters always had a lot of dresses, and everything was a lot of shoes and a lot of pocketbooks, everything very fancy, everything matches. The shoes with the pocketbooks, with the dresses, with the hats, everything always matched. And in her family, they never had such fancy stuff. So now that she gets married, she has the right to demand. She wants to live according to the standard of living that her in-laws had. That's the halacha. The wife has the right to demand a higher standard of living. So the Gemara says that this is called man. What's that? Are we SDMP? It's not for us. Nothing looks familiar. So the Gemara says that kol zman that the couple is married, this is the din. That the wife is entitled to live on the highest standard of living. What happens after the wife passed away? And the husband is mechuyav bekvuras ishtoi, and there are different ways to make a funeral. You can hire a whole orchestra to play soft music at the funeral and fly in the greatest bal masped of the generation from Europe that he should deliver on Nakat Hesped and have the fanciest cemetery site overlooking the Mokam HaMikdosh, whatever, and you can have the fanciest wooden coffin. You can spend a fortune of money. You can have everything cheaper. So does the halacha say also even after the wife died, even though they're no longer married or not? So the Gemara says that's a machloikis hatanon. But over here the psukim tell us that that's the way Avraham acted towards his wife. He spent a fortune of money, because he loved his wife so much, so even after she died, he wanted to give her the absolute highest kavod that he could give her. So he buried her in the Moreh HaMachpelah. So that's what Rabbi Hirsch suggests, that perhaps the reason why the Tanoim, what prompted the Tanoim, the Darshan from this Pasuk, Kicha Kicha Mizdei Ephraim, regarding the Jewish marriage, is to teach us this lesson, that the Jewish husband should treat his wife like Avraham Avinu treated his wife. And even after she died, he also spent a fortune and money on his wife. You have to be mechabed your wife. That's the halacha in the Gemara. The husband has a chiyuv to be mechabed the wife. The wife has a chiyuv to be mechabed the husband. Seems a little contradictory. Well, who's going to stand up for whom? Each one is going to stand up for the other. So the answer is, it doesn't mean the same thing. The husband has a chiyuv to be mechabed his wife means to spend money on his wife. That's what it means. Mechabed the yosem igufa means if he has, like over here, Avraham Avinu spends a fortune of money to buy a plot to bury his wife. And while she was alive, he spent a lot of money to buy her fancy clothing, and to put her through graduate school if she's interested in that, and to buy her the latest books that come out if she's interested in reading or going to the theater, whatever she wants, at the music, musicals, plays, whatever she wants. The husband has a chiyuv to be mechaber his wife, needs to spend money, not just to hold the door for her and put on a mink coat and so on. He needs to spend money for the wife. And the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that this is considered a zgula for Ashiras. If the husband spends money on his wife, so the pasuk says, "Oli Avram Heitiv Ba'avura." So the Gemara says that the zgula for Ashiras, for the husband, is if he treats his wife nicely. The Gemara has the lashon Akira Nishaychu Kehecha Ditisasru. You should be mechaber your wives in order that you should strike it rich. The chiva of the wife to be mechaber the husband, that doesn't mean she should spend money on the husband. That means she should be mechaber him. You should help him out in his business if he needs some help, unless he doesn't really need the help, unless he's wealthy enough and they can afford to have secretaries. So why should she run into the business? She should take it easy. But the chiv of kibud that the wife has to the husband, chiv of kibud that the husband has for the wife, are not contradictory. They're two different chiyuvim. Interesting, the commentaries on the Chumash point out that Avraham Avinu only gets involved in the Shidduch for his son Yitzchak. You don't find that he gets involved in the Shidduch for his son Yishmael. Yishmael was also a son. So they point out, apparently, the interest of Avraham Avinu to get involved, not just to get involved, to arrange the whole Shidduch for his son, was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Ki bi Yitzchak yikor lecha zera, that in Yitzchak and not Yishmael was going to be the Zera Avraham. And it means that the tradition of monotheism and Avraham Goyim, which one of the children are going to carry on this tradition to become the Ovis. Avraham Avinu was the first of the Ovis. And then he was told, they're going to be more Ovis. Rashi quotes the Medrash and then opening Pasuk and Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu was told there's going to be another two Ovis. So which one of his children is going to be the next one of the Ovis, and which one is going to be the one through whom the Emunah was going to be transmitted? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him Yitzchak and not Yishmael. So that's why it was very important for Avraham Avinu to arrange for the Shidduch for Yitzchak. It wasn't important to arrange for the Shidduch for Yishmael. He'll find his own Shidduch. What's the difference? But for Yitzchak, he had to arrange for it to make sure that after getting married, he would be able to, he and his wife would be able to serve as the Ovis and the Emois of the Klal Yisrael. And what did he test for? So the Eliezer Eved Avraham only tests for Gemilos Chasodim. He doesn't test for anything else. He just says he's going to see if the girl is going to offer him a drink, if she'll offer a drink for the camels, and so on. There is a Pirkei de Rab Lezer, a Medrash, that says that after Yishmael was married to his girlfriend, so on one occasion Avraham Avinu visited his home when Yishmael wasn't home, and his daughter-in-law was there. And he asked if she could give him a cup of coffee and a little Danish, and she said no. She wasn't interested in being Machnas Orchim for her own father-in-law. So he realized that the Nevuah was absolutely correct. The Nevuah was that Yitzchak is going to be the Zera Avraham, not going to be Yishmael. Yishmael didn't have this, his wife didn't have this need of Hachnasas Orchim. Avraham Avinu is noted for his Hachnasas Orchim. So that's why he must have given the instructions to Eliezer, Eved Avraham, when he goes to look for a wife, make sure that the girl is makbid an achnasas orchim an gmilas chasodim. That's going to be the hallmark of the Jewish people. Rachmanim b'ishanim and gamli chasodim. The wives that Yishmael married didn't have any of the above. And Avraham Avinu was upset about it, but he understood it, that he was given this nevuah, that Yitzchak is going to be the Zera Avraham, not going to be Yishmael. These are the things that you have to look for in a girl when you're going out, to see if the girl should be intelligent. Okay, she doesn't have to be that genius. Just because you have 5 PhDs doesn't mean that the girl has to be a PhD also. In the biography of the Chafetz Chaim that was written by the son, so he writes that when his father was looking for a shidduch, he just needed a girl who knows how to cook potatoes. Chafetz Chaim was a very bright person, but he wasn't looking for a chavrusa. He was able to write his Chafetz Chaim without his wife's assistance. He was able to edit the Mishnah Berurah without his wife. He had other people. He didn't. You're not supposed to look for a chavrusa in a wife. You need someone. Okay, if you want to be intellectually stimulated, that's one thing. But it's not the same as looking for a chavrusa, and it's not necessary to be intellectually stimulated by your wife. You can be intellectually stimulated in the Beis Medrash by other people. It doesn't have to be dafki your wife. There's nothing abnormal about you if you're not looking for the smartest wife in the world. There's nothing wrong to look for a wife who knows how to cook potatoes. You have to look for a girl who knows how to raise children, who knows how to cook well, who knows how to dress well, how to be a balabasta. People are looking for totally the wrong thing in marriage. The Pesukim, you see that Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer that he should go back to his homeland. He wants him to get a shidduch from his family. So a lot of people have the attitude, you're not marrying the family, you're only marrying the girl. That's against the Chumash. The Torah says you are marrying the family. Why is it so important that you should know who the family is? What was so gewaltig about Avraham Avinu's family? The role of the Avodah Zarah. What was so gewaltig about his family? So the Ran has in his drushes the famous comment that the Midas, we assume the Midas, are transmitted in the genes of the people. Not only physical properties are transmitted, but even Midas are also transmitted. So Avraham Avinu felt that despite the fact that the members of his family were of the Avodah Zarah, but he thought that they were very fine and very able and they had wonderful midas. It happens that this, some of the people over here in the narrative are real wheeler dealers, crooks. But basically the rest of the members of the family, the Pasuk tells us about the characters in the family, but basically the members of the family had midas tovus, and that's the most important thing to look for, is midas tovus in the girl. So it is important to see who the members of the family are. And stam, when a person is going to get married, what, you're never going to stay, you're not interested in going for a Shabbos for a Yontif to visit by the in-laws? If the in-laws are not religious, if the in-laws are not nice people, why should a boy settle if a guy's already 35 years old? He's getting on. Okay, so he has to settle already. So he'll settle and marry a girl who doesn't have such a wonderful family. But people who are younger, they're just they're looking for a shidduch lachatchila, they're not looking for a shidduch b'diavad. Why should a person settle now on marrying a girl who doesn't have a family? Why shouldn't you have more brothers and sisters and more parents? Why shouldn't you marry a girl who has very nice siblings, all b'nei Torah, yirei shemayim, and you have a good time whenever you go to visit any of them? Or why shouldn't you marry a girl who has wonderful parents and you'll enjoy it every time you go visit by them, and you'll talk and learning with the father-in-law? What's so terrible about that? Other of us, you'll be a happier person. I don't know why people are so callous about this. They don't care. They're just marrying the girl, they're not marrying the family. Why shouldn't you get, if you can marry a rich girl or a poor girl, why shouldn't you marry a rich girl? You can marry a girl who has so rich, she has brothers and sisters and parents and aunts and uncles, and they're all fine, nice people, and you can have a good time whenever you visit any of them. So why not marry that girl? Why shouldn't you marry the other girl who's missing all of these meters? I find it hard to understand why people ignore this. Anyway, in the Chumash you see that it's an important thing to look into the family. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of the Siman about Kibud Av V'Aim, that if the parents are unhappy with the Shidduch, so there's no din of Kibud Av V'Aim with respect to, you don't have to listen to the parents with respect to Shidduch. And the Bi'ur Agra gives the three explanations, the three timim that are given by the Poskim for this din. He gives one explanation is given based on the Rashba in the beginning of Yevamos. the kibud aviyim is only when the parents are asking for service. When they ask you to take out the garbage, when they ask you to wash the dishes, can you go shopping for them? Can you go do an errand for them? But if the parents are going to tell me how to run my life, that's not part of kibud aviyim. The parents have no right to tell me how to run my life. That's a Rashba in the beginning of Yevamos on Daf Hey. And then there's only going quotes another reason that the Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak in the sugya of kibud aviyim, has a discussion whether kibud av is mishal av or mishal bein. Let's say the father is interested, father would like to have some ice cream or whatever. He'd like to have a new suit. So do I have to buy him the suit for my money? I have to buy him the ice cream for my money? Or I say, okay, you give me a credit card, I'll be happy to go shopping for you. The father is interested in visiting Eretz Yisrael. So I said, okay, give me a credit card, I'll arrange for the trip. I'll drive you to the airport, I'll carry your luggage. And he says, no, he wants me to buy the ticket on my money. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that kibud av is mishal av lo mishal bein. The son is not mechuyev to spend money on the father. He's mechuyev to do tircha, to do the pu'ula, to be mishamish the parents, kibud av. But it's not mishal bein, the son is not mechuyev to lose money from his pocket. So the Vilna Gaon quotes the earlier poskim say, the kal v'chaim amarach, the son is not mechuyev to lose money from his pocket for kibud av. He's certainly not mechuyev to have a broken heart. If he fell in love with this girl and he wants to marry Davki this girl, then the parents say they're unhappy, they want him to marry somebody else. So the poskim says, that's like losing what I want. That's like losing what I have. So the din is, I'm not mechuyev, for kibud av purposes, I'm not mechuyev to spend money from my pockets. I'm not mechuyev to lose the girl whom I really am in love with. And the third reason that the Vilna Gaon quotes all from the poskim, it's not his original timing. The third reason is, that the Gemara says, whenever the kibud av is in conflict with any one of the mitzvahs ha-Torah, so then there's no din of kibud av. Let's say the father tells me on Shabbos he'd like me to give him a cup of hot coffee. I should make this hot coffee. So kibud av doesn't permit me to be mechal Shabbos, or it's chveis. I didn't daven mincha yet. My father wants me to drive him somewhere, and I only have 20 minutes left to daven mincha. I'm going to drive my father. I'll miss mincha. So he insists he wants me to drive him now. So the din is that there's no kibud av. Whenever the kibud av is in conflict with a mitzvah, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av. Both shevi al tase and kum yase. If it's in conflict with Shabbos, so the father wants me to be mechal Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. But even to be mevatel a mitzvah, even to be mevatel a minig also not. Let's say there's a minig, a chveis. What's a minig? Clapping Hoshinus on Hoshana Rabbah. I didn't clap Hoshinus yet. My father wants me to do something for him. I said, I didn't do the Hoshinus yet. So the din is that the Hoshinus takes precedence. Even a minig, unless it's a minig that not everybody has. It's not a widespread minig. Let's say the father feels bad why I'm saying Kaddish for the mother. My mother passed away. My father's alive. My father asked me, could you please do me a favor? He gives me the heebie-jeebies when you say Kaddish. Don't say Kaddish when I'm in shul. We always daven in the same shul. So I have to go to daven in another shul. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's no din of kibud av in such a case. Everybody knows that the minig is that you say kaddish. Unless it's some outlandish minig to fast on Bahav. Now, how many people fast on Bahav? Years ago, it was a common fact. They didn't have anything to eat anyway. So they still fast on Bahav. Today, hardly anybody fasts. So if the son wants to fast on Bahav, the father wants to take him out to dinner to eat somewhere. He makes up in advance. He wants to take him out. And the son says, no, I can't go that way that day. I want to fast Bahav. So the father says, I don't fast Bahav. So then the father has a right. He wants the son to be mishamishim, to serve him by eating with him in the restaurant on that day. Not that he's gunning out against Bahab, but he wants him to be mishamishim and thereby to violate this mini. So don't adopt num and hug him that not everybody has.
Marry one person over another person? So person
or else? No, so here they say in Shulchan Aruch, the fellow already decided he wants to marry this girl and he's prepared to perform the mitzvah. Then the father's going to say no, so he's not going to say, okay, so I'll marry the other girl. No, it's going to take him another half a year, or another 5 years, till he decides who's going to be Mamali Mokim for this girl. So then he's Mavatla Mitzvah for the next couple of months. If Taki has a choice, either this girl, this guy, I love both of them, I can marry either A or B. And the parents say, don't marry this one. He says, okay, so I'll marry the other one. So that reason wouldn't apply. But that reason of the Vilna Gaon, the third reason, that the kibud av doesn't apply to the mevatel mitzvah, that reason wouldn't apply. It's not being mevatel any mitzvah. Instead of proposing to this one, I'll propose to that one. Sure. Sometimes the Sefer Hasidim writes, and the later Achrayim, some of them quote it from the Sefer Hasidim, some of them write it on their own, that sometimes there is a din of kibud av when it comes to a shidduch. In the Shulchan Aruch, they're talking about a case. The parents just say, we don't want you to marry that girl. But what happens if it's really embarrassing to the parents? There's a real good reason why the parents are going to be humiliated if the son is going to marry that girl. The girl's father is a gangster, he's a criminal, they're sitting in jail, or something like that. And it's going to be an embarrassment to the parents. So then the Sefer Hasidim and later Poskim say that there is a din of kibud av in such a case. That's mamish, she's mevazeh the parents by marrying that girl. Gemara in several places quotes the two psukim, the one pasuk from Chumash and the one pasuk from Navi regarding the obligation to marry and have children. The pasuk in Chumash is Pru Revu, from Parshas Bereishis and from Parshas Noach, and the pasuk from Navi is Loto Baro La Shevis Yitzor. That's the mitzvah of Shevis, to have children, that the world shouldn't be an empty world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that it should be populated by the inhabitants. So the Mishnah in the end of Perek Avoy Vimta has a machlokes hatanoim, where the women are obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Piru Virilya. So we pass from Laloha, no. We pass from that since the pasuk says Piru Vu, Milus Oretz V'chivshuha. V'chivshuha means literally to conquer the world. The kaka means derach kibush mochama, and nashim alabanois kibush nina. Women are not drafted in the army. Women don't go to war. That's the more the first daf in kiddushin has like that. That the kibush mochama doesn't apply to women; only applies to men. So since the pasuk puts puruvu together with v'chiv shua, so that's how we paskin laloche. One tana says not so. One tana says that puruvu was said in the plural to both other memchava. So women are just as obligated as men. And we paskin like the other opinion that the women are not obligated in Puruvu. So the Rishonim have a machlokes. You look in the Beis Shmuel on the first page in Eben Ezer, and he quotes there's a machlokes between Tosfos and Chagiga against the Tosfos and other Mesichtes, where the women are mechuyev in the mitzvah midirei kabbalah of Shevis. Maybe they're exempt from the mitzvah of Chumash of Puruvu, and maybe they're still obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Shevis. So what's the difference? So what do you gain by saying that women are exempt? The nafkamina is a basic nafkamina. Is a girl permitted to marry a boy whom she knows in advance is unable to have any children? So if women are obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of Sheva, she has to marry a person whom she thinks will be able to have children. If she's not obligated to Sheva, she doesn't have to. It's stupid. Right now, the girl is so madly in love with the boy that she thinks she's going to be in love forever and she never will need any children. As the years will go on, and she'll see all the other girls in the neighborhood will be pushing their baby carriages, and she's not going to have any babies, and they're going to be making bar mitzvahs and chasanas and grandchildren and everything. She's going to be left just with her husband, so she's going to be sorry later on. But so if you see a girl who's interested in marrying a boy whom she knows in advance is not able to have children, you should try to set it straight. It's really ridiculous. She's going to have charata years later that she married this person. But Azai, that's the machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. How do we pass them? Whether women are mechuyev in Shevis or not? If you hold that women are mechuyev in Shevis, so what do you gain by saying that they're exempt from the mitzvah puruvu? If ben kolakol, they have to have children because of the pasuk in Dibri Kabbalah. So it's the same thing as saying that women are mechuyev in puruviriv. So the Achrayim discussed this. What might possibly be a difference between puruvu and Shevis? Or Shlomo Kluger has in one of his svarim, as in Ho'elof Lecha, he has many Shabbos Yitzchiris. So there's one little sefer that was edited by his grandson, who was named after him. His name is also Rav Shlomo Kluger. So Shlomo Kluger usually has very long tshuvas. So the grandson did us a favor, and he abridged over 1,000 tshuvas, and he put them in one small volume, Ho'elof Lecha Shlomo. Over 1,000 tshuvas, and he only took out the relevant paragraph from each tshuva, the pertinent paragraph, and he put it in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So he has in those tshuvas, Ho'elof Lecha Shlomo, a suggestion that maybe the mitzvah puruvu, the Mishnah says in the end of Habayu Vimta, the mitzvah is only fulfilled if the person has a son and a daughter. That's a different opinions, and that's that way we pass. We have to have a son and a daughter. As opposed to Shevis, maybe one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah midi kabbalah, of Shem is by just having one child, whether the child is a boy or the child is a girl. So let's say if a woman already had one child, and then she got divorced or the husband died, and now she's interested in marrying a person who's not able to have children. So then everyone would agree that that would be okay, because the women are not obligated to fulfill true revu, they're just obligated in Shevis, and Shevis is enough if you have one child. In the days of the Tanaim, the Gemara has cases where you pay for people to get married. Let's say a guy doesn't want to get married, so it says you pay for him. No, that's a pasuk in Koheles, and the Gemara says in Yivam, it's the end of the Perek HaBoi Vimta, where the whole sugya of getting married is. So the Gemara says that means that there's a mitzvah to have more than a son and a daughter. You should have more than that. Even though he already had a family when he was young, he should try to have more children later on. As the pasuk says, you should plant your seed in the morning and then plant some more later in the afternoon. And the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva had all the students when he was young, and all the students died and he got nothing out of it, so then he had to have students later on also. So the Gemara says as long as a person, if a person is in the field of teaching Torah to others, so you shouldn't retire at a young age, even though he already has so much money accumulated in his pension. He has millions of dollars, he can retire at the age of 50. So the Gemara says he shouldn't do that, because you can never tell which Talmidim will be the more successful ones. The Talmidim from the younger years, the Talmidim from the older years. And look at Rebbe Akiva, that he had all these thousands of students and they all died out in a plague, and then he had to start all over again, and the Torah was transmitted to those five students that he had in the later years. So the Gemara says the same regarding, that's how the Pasuk says, because you'll never know, Eze Yikosha Hazeh Ozeh. That's how the Pasuk ends off in Koheles. So the Gemara says the same regarding having children, that even though you had a son and a daughter, you should try to have more children. And the Pasuk says you can never tell which will be the better children. In the Shulchan Aruch, this is quoted, the mitzvah of La'er V'atanach Yadecha, but the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch that it's not a mitzvah min Atar, it's not even a mitzvah min the Rabbanon, it's a recommended midas chasidus. And if it's uncomfortable to fulfill it, if it's going to cause a problem or friction in the family to have more children, then there are more quotes from the Truma Sardeshan that you don't look for trouble. You don't do it. It's not that it's an absolute chiv La'er V'atanach Yadecha. The people think that they're up to it. Some people can barely raise one child. So how are they going to raise, so they have an obligation to have a son and a daughter. Then you got to have another two children or more. Have a bigger family. They're falling to pieces raising the two children that they have. So we wouldn't recommend in such a case that they should have more. Or the Shulchan Aruch gives other cases where the wife doesn't want. Let's say the wife doesn't want to have any more children. So the husband's going to pressure his wife. She doesn't want. Should have discussed it before he got married. The Pashtus doesn't, the Rav Shlomo Kluger says he doesn't think it makes a difference. He thinks that period, if he has to be a son and a daughter, that's the accepted opinion. The Shevis is one child. The Gemara talks about kaifin on Piriviri. If women are not Mukhoi, but men are Mukhoi in Piriviri, so if a man is not interested in getting married, then they're going to force him, they're going to pressure him to get married. Which girl is going to marry this guy that they're pressuring to get married? Which crazy girl is going to want to marry him if he doesn't want to get married? I don't know. They don't say whom they're going to marry him off to. I guess there's a girl who's calling to marry him. And he, on principle, doesn't plan to get married, period. So the SOY has an auction for $3 or for $1. And it comes later on for $1. So call a kodem zoch and they'll pressure the guy to marry that girl who gives the $1. Okay. There are more rights in Shulchan Aruch that we don't practice this anymore. The Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that after 10 years being married to Sarah and Avraham Avinu had no children, then he realized that he better do something about it. So the Gemara says if a person was Shor Esar Shanim and he had no children, then he has to do something. You kofen osa lagarish, you force him to get divorced and marry another woman, unless he can ascertain that he's the one who can't have any children, so it's not going to happen that he marries another woman. But if it would appear that the problem is from the wife, not from the husband, then you force the husband to marry another wife. And if need be, you force him if you can't afford to have two wives, of his manner is that we don't permit people to have two wives, then you force him to divorce the first wife and to marry a second wife who is a Bas Bonim. So there are more rights in the name of the Mordechai that we don't do this anymore, of his manner is that. This was a practice years ago. Well, how come we don't do it anymore? So the Mordechai explains, based on the Gemara in the end of Cheskes Habatim, the Gemara says that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the people saw that there was such anti-Semitism and there was such persecution of the Jews, and they figured it doesn't make sense that we should marry and have children. Let's not have any children. Let's decide not to have any children. So the Goyim will have less Jews to kill. We'll have less Jews to torture and to persecute. So these people were encouraging the Tanoim to make such a gzeira that no one should have any children. So the Tanoim said, yeah, that's a gzeira shen rei batzi b'yichayim lamedva. Normal people have a desire to have children. They enjoy having children. So they said, we're not going to make such a gzeira. But from the fact that the Tanoim entertained such a havamina, to make such a gzeira that we shouldn't have any children. So that's what the Mordechai says. So after the Churban Bayis Sheni, if a person doesn't want to have any children, he can't be faulted because he's really doing something that is correct. The Tanoim just didn't prohibit having children because it's a gzeira sheni rei batzi b'chalim lamed, but in principle it sounds like it's the correct thing to do. Not that children. So therefore you're not kofer for the person who doesn't want to get married. So when was there such a din that the Braisa says kofen also lagarish? He forced the person to divorce the first wife, marry her. When was it then? In this Braisa was a Braisa Keduma from before the times of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Very strange. It's quite an early Braisa. From the early Tkufas HaTanoim, from before the Churban Abayit. Okay. That's what the Mordechai says. The Mordechai took the Gemara literally. When the Gemara says there in the end of Cheskes Habatim that we should have really made such a gzeira upon ourselves not to have any children. Taisus Anat Gemara asks the kasha, how can they make such a gzeira not to have any children? Isn't it against the pasuk of Chumash? It says Pru Revu, you have to have a son and a daughter. So Taisus says, no, the gzeira wouldn't have been to do away with all children. The gzeira meant not to have more than the two children. After one has already fulfilled the mitzvah Pru Revu, he shouldn't have more. In other words, the gzeira would have been against the Le'er Atanach Yadecha, but not against what it says in the Chumash. The Mordechai understood the Gemara otherwise. Mordechai obviously understood the Gemara. The gzera that they were contemplating making would have been not to have any children at all. Because otherwise the whole Mordechai does make sense. It says that you're not kofer today, I'm peri b'rivya, because they were going to make such a gzera, and the only reason why they didn't do it because they didn't have a tzibir chalim lamed. See, he understood the Gemara not like this.
Yeah, a similar discussion with Chumash
with Miriam, that they
had
the Rashi and
the
Midrash and
Tzarek,
and
Hanuman and Yotam,
they
had this argument.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't held up.
So
why the Tanayim feel that the...
Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. How could it be worse than Mitzrayim? They were killing? I don't know. In every generation, the Jews, after persecution, had the same debate, whether we should make such a gzeira or not to have any children. Right. So the Taisvus is a problematic Taisvus. Taisvus asks, how can they make such a gzeir? It's against what it says in Chumash. What's the kasha? Don't we know that yesh kaf yachachamim lakadom and atar b'shevi al tasa? The chachamim made a gzeir and not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, and not to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and so on. So many gzeirs b'shevi al tasa. Not to put tzitzis in the beged shel pishta, not to bring a korban pesach by gersh and izgar b'er pesach. There's a whole list of cases in Yevamos daf tzadik. So what does it get so excited over here that they had to reinterpret the statement in the Gemara that the gzeir would have been not to have more than a son and a daughter? So the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Gansfried, has a sefer on Baba Basra. It's a little bit out of use these days. Hardly anybody reads it. It's a different style. After Rav Chaim came on the scene, nobody uses this Pnei Shlomo anymore. So anyway, on that daf, he has a famous comment on that thesis. So he says that there's a famous Taz who asks Akasha, Taz quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach, that he asked Akasha, why did the Chachamim only prohibit Kiyah Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Because of the concern, Shema Yavirena, Dalaramis, Bishusaram, why didn't they prohibit Kiyah Shofar in general, all the time, on every Rosh Hashanah? Because of the Gzeri, Shema Yisakim Kleshir, they prohibited Mashmiya Kol, you're not allowed to play any musical instruments. So they should have prohibited Kiyah Shofar because of the Hashmoas Kol involved. Why did they only prohibit Kiyah Shofar when Rosh Hashanah Chal Yis B'Shabbos? So the Taz quotes from the Bach that the Chachamim have the right to make Gzeir B'Shevi Al Tasa, But they cannot go kenegedav hamafurish bater. It says in the Chumash you have to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. How can they make exer against what it says explicitly in the Chumash? True, the din is that you have to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, but that doesn't say explicitly in the Chumash. That's self-understood. There's no reason why you shouldn't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's not a malacha. There's no reason that you shouldn't blow shofar. But since it's not explicit, so that they had a right to make exer against. But they had no right to make exer against, to abolish the whole institution of Tekiah Shofar. That they didn't have the right to do. See, it says in the Chumash you should put on tzitzis on the four corner garments. Doesn't say explicitly that you put on tzitzis even if the beged is a beged shel pishtan. That's self-understood. And the Chacham have drushes that, as the Dechaloi says, is derived from the parasha of tzitzis, that you have to put on tzitzis even though it's going to make shatnas. So it's in between the lines you're reading like that, that the beged is a beged shel pishtan, and the chutim of the trelis has to be chutim shel tzemer. The trelis has to be a specific color dyed with the chalazin, and it has to be dafke this material of tzemer. So that's reading in between the lines. We understand that there's a beferish drasha, not a beferish pasuk, it's a beferish drasha that assumes that a beged shel pishtan is chayv in tzitzis also, but it's not a beferish pasuk. So that's why the Tanoim had the right, that the Shammai made the gezerah that you're not allowed to put in tzitzis in a beged shel pishtan. We pass them, that's one of the cases where we pass them like the Beis Shammai. They had a right to make exera the Rabbanon against the thing which is not explicit in the Chumash, but they can't. It says everybody has to bring a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. It doesn't, and it says even a ger has to bring a Korban Pesach. But it does say even if the ger converted on Erev Pesach, that's what they prohibited. A ger and his guy, Erev Pesach, they prohibited him from bringing the Korban Pesach that year. Next year he brings. So that's not, it's against the halacha. The din there I says that the ger has to bring the Korban Pesach even if he just converted today. But that din is not explicit in the Chumash. So that they have the right to make exera the Rabban. So this is a famous machloikis, Rishonim and Achrainim. Many Rishonim take a stand on this, some in one direction, some in the other direction. Is this klal of the Taz, B'Shem HaBach, is this correct or not? That the Chachamim do not have the right to make Gzera Kenega Dova HaMafurish Baterm. You find a lot of Rishonim and Achrenim hold like this. So that's Alpi Pashtus, the Machlokes over here. There is an explicit Pasuk in the Chumash regarding Piriviriv, yeah? And then the Gemara says the Chachamim were contemplating making Gzera the Rabbanon not to have any children. So Tosfos said that's impossible, not to have any children, to be mevatel, to be oiker, the whole mitzvah, that will never fulfill a mitzvah, they cannot be. They have no right to make such Gzera. What it meant was they were contemplating making Gzera not to have more than a son and a daughter. And they saw that Gzera is also Ein Rebbe Atzi B'Cholem Lamavo. A lot of people enjoy having more babies. So they're not going to listen, so they decided they're not going to make the Gzera. And the Mordechai understood the Gemara now that they were contemplating making the Gzera and not to have any children at all. Zero population. Not having any children at all. That they do have the right to make Gzera. Afilu b'shevi al tas even kinege dova hamafurish bater. That's a machlokes in the Rishon. In Ksubis, later in the Masechta, there are going to be discussions about Oinus and Mefata and Moitzi Shema, which is all Knas. So the Gemara says in Gittin and Baba Kama that Bizman is there, we don't have any real smuchim, and the ability of the Rabbanim to function in the Din Torah is based on Shlichus Sayu, that the original smuchim in the days of the Amoraim, in the generations of the Amoraim, allowed all of the Hedyotis in the later generations to be done Din Torah, even though they don't have smicha. But the Gemara says that this Shlichus Sayu institution is only when you have a Milsa de Shticha, the Izbech Yisarin Kis. If it's no chisaron kis, then you don't say shlichusai. So we assume la locha that the dinim is manas, they have no right to be done diniknosis. So what does it mean? A man is ma'anis and mafata people and he just gets away with this. We just let him run around. That's terrible. So the ravid has hasogas on the rif. The ravid's hasogas on the rif begin in the middle of the fourth perik in Ksubas, in perik Narish and Espatsa. So he quotes several tshuvas hagoinim who all say the same thing. That if you see the Bezim sees Bizman Azed, that someone is being ma'anis and mafat the girls, despite the fact that he cannot paskin that he has to pay the oinus and mafata, that's a knas, but still Bezim akamiyan shushalim and adin, Bezim should do something to stop him. The one way to stop him is by penalizing him, by making him pay a penalty of money. So the Bezim has a right to make him pay a penalty to make sure that this will deter him from doing this activity again. So do they have the right to make him, to penalize them, anas and mafata, to make him pay chamishim shekel kesef? So the rabbit quotes the tshuvas hagoinim, no. They can penalize him that he should pay 40 shkolim, they can penalize him to pay 60 shkolim, more or less they can make him pay, but they can't make him pay exactly the 50 shekel, the 50 shekel kesef, because that's keneged davar hamafurish b'Torah. That's what he says. There's makom yonshin shalai min adin. They have a right to punish shalai min adin, to punish the person, even though we don't have smicha b'zmanazeh, there's no real bezdim b'zmanazeh, we can't be done diniknasis b'zmanazeh, but still we can punish shalai min adin, but we can't have the punishment correspond exactly to what the din HaTorah is only if you have a bezdim shal smuchim. We can punish him more or less than the din HaTorah. And the Ramah quotes that in the beginning of Choshe Mishpat, when there's a whole Simen Beis, a Simen Gimel, and Choshe Mishpat is all about Bez Makam Yonshin Shalom and Adin. He doesn't quote it from the Ravid, he quotes it from other Chuvas HaGainim who say the same thing as the Chuvas that the Ravid is quoting. This was also an interesting, the Taz interprets like that Taz that quoted the Bach, that the Bezim has no right to make a gzeir about kiras dov men atar when it's keneged dov hamafurish b'atar to do away with the whole institution of tkiyah shefer. The Taz says this word based on a loshan agemara that the achrayim are all in the same generation. They all said the same dik, the Maharam Lublin and the Maharshal on the bottom of the Marshaw. So they both, there's a tshuva from the Maharam Lublin and the Maharshal on Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis, where they both, Maharam and the Maharshal, both have the same comment on the same Gemara that the Taz commented on. That the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Bez Makom Yonshin Shalom Min Adin, V'lo Laver Al Divrei Torah, Ela Kidei La'aseh Siyog La'Torah. V'lo Laver Al Divrei Torah. The Gemara has a case that somebody rode on a horse on Shabbos, and riding horseback is only a prohibition with the Rabbanon, it's not an Issa Deraisa, and they gave him the death penalty. Even though the halacha doesn't say that one who rides a horse is supposed to get the Einish Misa, nonetheless, that was Lohai Rosh Ola Migdam Nufin. Another case, and a person did enact the preaches, and they gave him Malkus, even though strictly speaking, the Gemara says he didn't deserve Malkus at all, but that was Lohai Rosh Ola Migdam Nufin, so they had a right to give Malkus. So the Braisa continues over there. That's a braisa from the Megillas Tainus that's quoted in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mevav and Aleph. So it says, "V'loy lava al divrei Torah, elo kidei la'aseh siyog la'Torah." What kind of a lashon is that? "V'loy lava al divrei Torah." Of course not lava al divrei Torah. What the rabbis are going to be? Reformed rabbis. What are they trying to bring out? "V'loy lava al divrei Torah." The rabbi's intention should not be lava al divrei Torah, kidei la'aseh siyog. Of course not lava al divrei Torah. What's the hava meaning? So the Taz says, and that's what they all say, the Maharam and the Marshal, they all say the same thing. The Lava Divitar means that although Bezin has a right to do something, but they can't go against the Dova Hamafurish Batara. Even when they're giving Makam Yonshin Shalom and Adin, it can't be like over there. You want to penalize the Anis and the Mefateh, so you can't make him pay Hamishim Shekel Kesef. You can make him pay more, you can make him pay less. It's not right to make him pay the Hamishim Shekel Kesef. That's keneged davar hamafurish b'Torah. The Maharshal has a famous comment on Daf Nun Beis in Sanhedrin. The Gemara tells the story of one of the Amoraim who lived way after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Most of the Tanaim lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the Gemara says there was one Amora who lived way after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and in his community there was a Bas Koyin Shezinsa, so he administered the Einish Sreifa to the Bas Koyin. And he made a big fire and he burnt her. He burnt her in the fire. So the Gemara says he made two little mistakes. He made one mistake that we don't administer Nisus Bezdim Bezman Hazeh because Bezman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. You have to have a Sanhedrin Gdoilo located in the Lishkas HaGozes, Malamed Shamokim Gorim. And so the Gemara says 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, Batlu Din in the Foshes because of Sanhedrin Golsom in Kaimam. And from that time on, from 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, they were not done anymore, didn't the Parshas anywhere in the whole world. And then the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis quotes another pasuk that you can only administer din in the Parshas bizman sheyesh koyin oyved, bizman that they're makriv korbanos, bizman that there's no koyin oyved, agav yamizbech, so then you also don't administer din in the Parshas. So that's little mistake number one, he was done din in the Parshas bizman is that. Then mistake number two was that he burnt the girl. He burnt the Bas Koyin alive. That's not supposed to be Sreifa. Sreifa is supposed to be you open up the mouth and you pour down melted lead and it burns out the kishkas inside and the person dies like that. And so the Gemara says he made two mistakes. So it's a pella. How can he make the two mistakes? So the Maharshal writes on that Gemara, he has a teretz. He thinks that the one kashif haremf is the other. Chada b'chavata metarza. He says, v'neni kecholak ala gemara. He says, I'm just giving a historical suggestion. He's not disagreeing. He thinks that you have, he assumes you have the right to disagree with the gemara on historical issues. You don't have a right to disagree with the gemara on halachic issues. So he says over here, he thinks that the one kashif haremf for the other, that the Amora knew that you're not dandin in the Foshis Bizman Azeh because ain't based on Mikdash Kaim and there's no Vishkas Agozis and so on and so forth. But he wanted to give Makam Yonshin Lohi Rosh or the Mikdan Nusa. But whenever you give Makam Yonshin, you can't give the exact same Modish that it says in the Chumash that you're supposed to give under normal circumstances. Like the Ramah quoted there in Ebenezer, the Ramah in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat in the Ravid in Perek Narish and his spots on the bottom of the rift, they quote, from the Chuvas HaGadim, you can make the Oynes and Mefata pay 45, you can pay 55, but you don't make him pay 50. So that's why this Amor Dafke gave this Reifa in the wrong fashion. So he had a right to do that because Bezim Akamei Anshe Shalom Eradin. If he would have given this Reifa the way it's supposed to be, pouring down the lead down the throat, that would have been a violation of Lo Laval Divrei Torah. That's exactly what the Torah says you're not supposed to give. The proper form of Mises Bezim is manchain based on Mikdash time that you're not allowed to give. So he gave a different kind of some other form, not any one of the forms of Mises Bezin. Yeah, but this is a big machlokes in Rishonim, whether this is so. Many Rishonim hold not so. Many Rishonim hold that the Bezin does have the right. Lohay Rosh or the Migda Milsa or Bishavi Altasen and Mitzvah Sesed, the Bezin does have the authority even to be Yerkedov Menatar Mikolvakol to do away. That's what the Ramah Paskins like that Lalocha. That you're not Kaifa Bizman Azeh and Piri Verivya. Because the Gemara says, he understood the Gemara like the Mordechai, that it would have been preferable to have made such a gzeirah de Rabbanan, not allowing people to have any children at all. Not the way Tosfos learned that you should make a gzeirah de Rabbanan not to have more than a son and a daughter. They wanted to make the gzeirah not to have any children at all. There is a famous issue that's brought up by the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash. If the Chachamim have a tradition, the Kiyam Avam Avinu Kol HaTorah Kulo Ad Shelo Nitna, in the last daf in Kiddushin says that Avam Avinu fulfilled all of the mitzvahs even before the Torah was given. And the Medrash says somehow he had the ability to figure out by looking into the world, he had Kloyos Yoyotzos, his kidneys somehow gave him advice, and he figured out all of the Taryag mitzvahs HaTorah, and even the mitzvahs with the Rabbanon, the Gemara says even Erev he figured out. And he observed everything, so the Ramban assumes that it's not only true regarding Avram, it's true regarding Yitzchak and Yaakov as well. So how come Yaakov married Shtei Achoyes? So the Ramban on Chumash raises this question. So the Ramban has this famous answer that Koidem Matan Torah, the mitzvahs, the Ovis only volunteered the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. It makes more sense in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutzlod, so they only volunteered in Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov Avinu married two sisters, that was in Chutzlod. And Taka, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, one of them died. And that's the reason why one had to die, because when he comes back to Eretz Yisrael, he has to go back to follow in the footsteps of Avram and Yitzchak to observe all the Taryag Mitzvah. He's not allowed to be married to two sisters. And the Maharami Prague has in his Sefer on Rashi, on Chumash, on the Gurariya, he says, no, the oldest only volunteered to fulfill the mitzvahs Haseh, Kodem, Matan, Torah. The mitzvahs Lo says it does make sense to volunteer. There is no concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yoysa and Alav. There's only a concept done in Essay. So the obvious Kodem Matan Torah was a Pchina Vein and Mitzvah of Yosef, so that only made sense to volunteer. And Mitzvah is not on Easter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what the Ramban does with that Medrash. That's a very good question. Love and Garti in the Medrash says with Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, that the word Garti is the same letters as Taryag. I guess the Ramban is not following that Medrash. Yeah. So there are many answers on that question. How can it be that Yaakov married two sisters? So one of the famous answers is given by Rav Elvala Soloveitchik. He said the prohibition of marrying two sisters is only if you talk a married to the first sister, then you're not allowed to live with the second one. It has to be kiddushin. There's even a shayla, maybe you need nisuin. Shayla, you need kiddushin is enough, or you need nisuin. Pashto says kiddushin is enough. But what happens if a man is mizana with a girl, then he's not allowed to marry her sister? So the Mishnah in Yevamos, there's a parak in Yevamos that starts off with the words, Nosim Alhu Anusim, that I'm permitted to marry the sister or the daughter or the mother of a woman whom I was ma'anis or mafata. Nosim Alhu Anusim, the Alhamafuto. It's only if I actually marry this woman, then I'm not then I'm forbidden to marry her mother, that's my mother-in-law, her daughter, or her sisters. But if I was only mezana with the woman, then there's no prohibition. So what if I married the woman, but I didn't have an ishus Yisrael? I only married the woman with an ishus b'nei noyah. So that's Rav Dovala's famous chiddush. He said, the ovis kodim matan Torah, they could volunteer all they want from today till next year. But still, it was kodim matan Torah. So they were incapable of creating an ishus Yisrael. The only ishus, the only thesis ishus that they possibly could have had was an ishus of b'nei noyach. The ishus of b'nei noyach is different from the ishus of Yisrael. The Yerushalmi says, and the Bereishis Rabbah says like that also, that by ishus b'nei noyach there's no institution of gerushin b'ksav. There's no get. What does it mean, there's no get? So the Yerushalmi has a machloikis amaroyim. Where does that lead you? So does that mean that they simply can't get divorced? They're stuck. Once a nochri gets married, so he's stuck for the rest of his life. Or do you say no? The other opinion of Yerushalmi is that that no, there's no gerish and biksav. They can have gerish and bal peh. The husband or the wife can initiate the divorce. That's how the Rambam. The Rambam is mekel for them, and the Catholic Church was macha. Catholic Church adopted that opinion in the Yerushalmi that they have no gerish and period. And the Rambam assumes the other way, that that the Nochem do have gerish and it doesn't have to be biksav. It can be bal peh, and either the husband or the wife can initiate the gerushin. The husband says goodbye and good luck, I don't want to live with you anymore. The wife says goodbye and good luck, I don't want to be married to you anymore. Whoever makes that declaration, so the ishus is broken already. So you see that the halachas are different. The ishus is so, the ishus is b'nei noach. There is a discussion also, is there a din of soita by b'nei noach? By b'nei Yisrael, there is a din. If an ishus ish is insa, so she's asur al baila. Is there such a din by b'nei noach? If the nachri is married and his wife has an affair with someone else, then the Nachri has to get rid of her. He's not allowed to continue living with his wife. What if he says he's Meichel her, and he wants to continue living with the wife? So he says, it's Osir. Is there such a din? There is a tshuva by the Beis Meir. The Beis Meir was, I think, a cousin of Rabbi Kiveger. Obviously, he was a contemporary of his cousin. And a contemporary of the Chemda Shloima, he used to correspond with Rabbi Kiveger. So the Machon Yerushalayim printed about 20-30 years ago a small sefer that's the Shadis Hetshuvas of the Beis Meir. Beis Meir is Chiburim on Shulchan Aruch, and he published this collection of Shadis Hetshuvas of his several years ago. So there's one tshuva there that's very, very strange, and the one who did the work preparing it for publication writes in a footnote, he showed this tshuva to all of the Rabbonim in Yerushalayim, and no one thought that it made any sense. He doesn't know how to make any sense out of this. There's a whole story about a non-Jewish woman who was a maid in a Jewish home, and she always wanted to convert, and finally, the end of the story, she finally does convert. After that's the end of the story. So in the beginning of the story, she's living with a Jewish man. She was a maid in a Jewish home, so she knew all about Shabbos and Kashrus. She knew all the mitzvahs, so she decided she was also keeping all the mitzvahs. She was cooking on Shabbos. But she decides she's going to keep all the mitzvahs like the rest of the men. To a different period, and the woman remained behind. Then she fell in love with another Jewish fellow, because she's only dealing with Jewish people. So then she was living with the second guy for a while. Then after she converted, and she gets back to the first guy, and now that she's Jewish, and now he's going to marry her. So the Rabbanim told him, you can't marry her. Soita. Since he was married to her originally it was an intermarriage. It was a Jewish husband and a non-Jewish wife. And he gave her a ring, and he said, hurry up. ran to a different pyramid, and the woman remained behind. Then she fell in love with another Jewish fellow. She's only dealing with Jewish people. So then she was living with the second guy for a while. Then at this, she converted, and she gets back to the first guy, and now that she's Jewish, and now he's going to marry her. So the Rabbanan told him, you can't marry her. Soito. Since he was married to her originally it was an intermarriage. It was a Jewish husband and a non-Jewish wife. And he gave her a ring and he said, Hari at Mukudeshusli. They were living together for a while. And then the people in the neighborhood said, what are you, crazy? What are you living with a non-Jewish woman? She's not Jewish, she never converted. So he ran away, the husband ran away. He realized that he was wrong. So in the Jewish space mayor, he assumes that there is issues between the Jewish husband and the non-Jewish wife. There is an issue. So it's not going to be Enki Dushin Tofsin. It's not going to be issues he saw. It's going to be issues B'nai Noya. And then he assumes that all the Rabbanim above, they all assume that there's a din of Saita. That since this non-Jewish woman had an affair with someone else, when the husband ran away, when he left town, so she had an affair with another Jewish man. So the original husband is not allowed to marry her after she converts because of the din of Saita Asura Levaila. That there's a din of Saita by two chidushim nifloim. There's issues between a Jewish husband and a non-Jewish wife. There's issues b'nei noyach, chidush number one. And chidush number two, we usually used to thinking ein kiddushin tofsin, there's no issues at all. So these gedolim assume, no, there's no issues. You saw there is issues b'nei noyach. And they're assuming chidush number two, that the din of Saita Asura Levaila even applies if there's only issues b'nei noyach. You don't even have to have issues yisra. The whole thing is kula chiddush. That's what the one who prepared these kisveyat for publication writes in the footnotes on the bottom of the page. He showed these lines in the tshuva to all the rabbanim in Yerushalayim, and no one knew how to make heads or tails out of this. How can it be? They never heard of this. But there are those who say like that. That's there are those who say that's the famous tshuva saramo, commenting on the pasuk Hashav Eses Shish Kinovihu Yispal Batcho Vechayei. At the beginning of Lech Lecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu should go to Eretz Yisrael. He goes to Eretz Yisrael, so then Vahi Rav Baretz. He goes down to Mitzrayim. So Avraham Avinu realizes he's going to be in big trouble. Oh, so he says to his wife, she should say that that they're brother and sister. So on that occasion, yeah, the first time when he goes down to Mitzrayim, it says he makes up with his wife, Imina Chosia, and they won't start up with us. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya writes on that pasuk, what does that mean? We should tell a lie. We should tell a lie in order that they shouldn't kill me, in order to take you away. Is that the way a believer acts? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, it doesn't mean that they should tell a lie. If they'll say Imina Chosia, that'll be the termination of the marriage. Because the halacha says that Avraham Avinu only had an ishus b'nei noyach. He didn't have an ishus Yisrael. And the Rambam quotes la halacha that sak from the Yerushalmi, that either the husband or the wife can initiate the marriage, the divorce, and the divorce is accomplished. There's no need for a document of a get. You just make a public declaration that we're not married anymore. So once she said in public that she is a sister, he tells her, Avraham Avinu tells the wife, you say that we're brother and sister. So that's what she said. She said we're brother and sister. That was the end of the marriage. So Shitaka wasn't an ancient ish. So what Avraham Avinu said was not a plot. Hey, let's make up a story that's not true. Let's say that we're brother and sister, make believe that we're not married. No. He said, my life is in danger, do me a favor, and let's get divorced. We'll get divorced, so my life will not be in danger. So she said, okay, and that's what they did. They got divorced. How'd they get divorced? She said, that's my brother. When she made that public statement, that's my brother, that was the divorce. That's how the Rabbeinu Bechaya interprets. But then you have in Parshas Vayera, the same story repeats again, but he went to Avimelech, Melech Gror. So that time Avi also said, Imina Chosiyat, and that time Avimelech had the dream that he's going to be punished. Hoshav Eses Shish Kinovi Hu Yispal Batcha Bechiyev Da Amein Chamesh Av Daki Mois Tomus Chaz Hibul Azbov. He's going to be punished. I over there, she also said that they're brother and sister. So why is he going to die because she's an Eshes Ish? Somehow Rabbeinu Bechaya explains why it didn't work the second time. The first time in Parshas Lech Lecha it worked. It did constitute Gerishin. And the second time it didn't constitute Gerishin. So the Pasuk says, we assume, that they were still married the second time around when they went to Avimelech Melech Gerar. So the so we assume that Avram and Sarah were still married, and then the pasuk says to Avimelech the Novi that he gets the Nevuah, Hashav Eishes Sheish Ki Novihu, give her back because he is a Novi. And if he's not a Novi, so you don't have to give him his wife back. So the Ramah writes in his Shalas Tshuvas, and some of the later Sfarim write like that. It's surprising that the Ramah wrote like that. The later Chassidish Sfarim, you understand. So they say, Hashav Eishes Sheish, give back the wife to Avram Avinu, because Ki Novihu, he is a Novi, and he knows Biruach HaKodesh that you didn't touch her. If it would have been anybody other than a Novi, and the husband wouldn't know that maybe the wife was Mizana with someone other than her own husband, then there would have been a Nisa Saita Labaila. But because Kinovihu, he is a Novi, so he will be able to be Mevar Baruch HaKodesh, if the wife was not Mizana, and the Mela does not deny. So those who give this suggestion are assuming that the Din of Saita Asura Labaila applies to Bnei Noach. The issue of Bnei Noach is a very big chiddush. The Pashta says that this is not from the mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Pashta says that it's not so. The Chassidish Sfarim, they discuss this interpretation, that you should rely on Ruach HaKodesh to be mevar the facts of the case, to be matar a woman. If I have a suffix whether the woman is a sot asur al baila not, so go to the Novi. Novi would tell you b'nevuah that she was not mezana, so that's okay. You have the right to rely on nevuah, or on Ruach HaKodesh to be mevarer facts of the case. The Chassidim tell a story about the Yehuda with the Baal Shem Tov, that they lived in the same village for a while before the Nadi Yehuda went to Prague, and the Baal Shem Tov was a relative of the Nadi Yehuda's wife. They were cousins. The Nadi Yehuda was very opposed to Hasidus. So he didn't want his daughter to go visit by the cousin, by the Baal Shem Tov, but she visited anyway without the father's knowledge. She used to go visit him to hear Yerushalayim, to gain in Yerushalayim. So she was afraid to tell her father. So on one occasion, when she was visiting by the Baal Shem Tov, he stood up in the middle of a conversation and he ripped his garment and he sat down. And she didn't understand what that was all about. It wasn't apropos to anything that they were discussing. So she wrote down what day it was and what time it was in the day. And she was going to try to figure out what happened that he had ripped Kriya. Several months later, the word reached Poland that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh had died exactly on that day, at that time, in Eretz Yisrael. So she realized that the Baal Shem Tov, clearly, as she always thought that Baal Shem Tov had Ruach HaKadosh, but now she saw with her own eye that her cousin, the Baal Shem Tov, had Ruach HaKadosh. At this time, she revealed to the father what she was doing. She was sneaking in against his wishes to visit the Baal Shem Tov all along. And she says, you have to believe that he has Ruach HaKodesh, and she told him the whole story, that he ripped Kriya. He just found out today that that's when the Orach Chaim HaKodesh died. Obviously, he stood up to rip Kriya for the Orach Chaim HaKodesh. So the father was upset, and Nadi Yehuda. So he said with a stern face that the Baal Shem Tov was Oivam Baal Tashchis, because the Halacha says you only rip Kriya when you're there b'shas Yitzias Neshama, or when a Rechot comes and tells you that a relative died. But if you're not there, and you don't have an Eid Echad, an eyewitness who tells you, you figured it out with Ruach HaKodesh what the facts are, so you're not allowed to follow that way to ascertain information, and that's a violation of Baal Tashchis. So when they told this back to the Nadi Yehuda, to the Baal Shem Tov, that the Nadi Yehuda said that he was in violation of Baal Tashchis, so he said, what do you mean? I was there, B'shas Yitzias Neshama. He lived in Poland. And Orach Chaim HaKodesh died in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, what do you mean? I was there. He was there b'shas Yitzias Neshama. That's the way the Chassidish version of the story goes. That was the concluding remark that I gave. So that's the discussion that the Chassidish Islam they have on this pasuk. Is this Tshuvas HaRamah, is this interpretation acceptable? Hashav Eishes Sheish Ki Novihu, he's a Novi, so he'll know Baruch HaKodesh that the wife was not Mezana, so therefore there's no prohibition of Soita. You can rely on information that you ascertain based on Ruach HaKodesh or based on Nevuah. That's a question if that's acceptable or not. So anyway, so Rav Elbala Soloveitchik has this famous interpretation. To answer this kasha of the Ramban, how is it that Yankov Avinu married two sisters if the Gemara says on the last daf in Kedushin the Kim of Avinu Kolatuv Kolat Shaloi Nitno, so why didn't Yankov also fulfill? The Ramban's kasha and the Marami Prak's kasha. So Rav Avraham Soloveitchik gave another answer. He said that the Mishnah says in Yevamos, Noisem al Hanusa v'al Hamafuta, that the only time it's forbidden to marry Achos Ishtoi is if you're married to the first wife. If you were never married to the first wife, then there's no prohibition to take the sister. So what if he was married to the first wife only with Inisha's Bnei Noach? It wasn't Inisha's Yisrael. So then Rav Avraham thought that's not sufficient marriage. Inisha's Bnei Noach is a different kind of Ishus. The Pashto says that there is no Isha Saita Lebailo. It's a different kind of Ishus. And there's no Gerish and Bixav, whatever there is, but there's no, either like the Catholic Church or like the Rambam, whichever Amora's opinion you want to accept from the Talmud Yerushalmi, but this is clear, there's a different kind of Jesus, and you don't have Gerish and Bixav. So that's what Rav Avraham thought, that the issues, and then also there's another difference, that the Nochrim only have Bulas Bal Yeshlahem, Nifnus Eluchot Pavalei Nivala Elahem, they don't have a concept of Erisin, they only have Nisu and Mamish, and they don't have Kiddusha Kesef or Shtar, they don't have Kiddusha Bia. When they do the Kiddusha Bia, she becomes right away a Nisuah. There's no such thing as Nichnus of Uchupa Valay Nivala Elahem. They don't have Erisin and Nisuah. The whole nature of the Ishus Bnei Noach is totally different from the Ishus Yisrael. So that's why Dalvala thought that since Yaakov Avinu never had an Ishus Yisrael with the first wife, with Leah, so there was no, he couldn't have had. He's not Kim of Avinu Kala Tarakul Achelon Nitnam, they volunteered, but Tarasena Mitzvah Yosef. But there's still Sofkal Sofa was Kodim Atan Tar, so it was impossible to have an Ishus Yisrael. That's what Rav Avraham thought. So therefore, it wasn't Shaykh to say that there should be a prohibition of Achos Ishta. Because Achos Ishta is only applicable when you have the Ishus Yisrael on the first wife. That's how Rav Avraham Soloveitchik interpreted the Lashon. The Gemara is going to have it later in Ksubas. The Gemara says that for the purpose of Birchas Erisin, when you get married, so you say, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvaysav, v'tzivanu, and then you should have ended off, l'kadosh esu isha. Some Rishonim have that. Some Rishonim, the Ozarua, quotes like that. The Gemara has the Birchas Erisin, but the Gemara never mentioned the Birchas HaMitzvah. He said, the Ozarua writes, that's self-understood. Kol HaMitzvah's kulam avarach alayim marulas yosam. The Gemara doesn't tell you what the Nusach HaBracha is on until it's yadayim. They let you figure it out on your own. The Gemara doesn't tell you anatilas lulam. The Gemara doesn't have. You understand on your own what the nusach is. Sata b'tzitzis. The Gemara doesn't tell you. The Gemara is not a sitter. You look at a sitter. So the Gemara has a kol kolam mitzvahs kulam. The Gemara doesn't say what's the nusach habracha you say when you kaveh a mezuzah. You figure it out on your own what the nusach should be. So when you get married, so you say birchas hamitzvah lekadesh asher kedushanu b'mitzvahs mitzvanu lekadesh esu isha. The Gemara has to tell you in addition to the birchas hamitzvah, there's also birchas erisin, which is a birchas sheva. It's not a birchas hamitzvah. But that's not the common practice. When we get married, we don't follow that opinion. We don't say two brachas. We assume like the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes that the birchas erisin is the birchas hamitzvah. So if it's the birchas hamitzvah, why does it have such a funny lashon? The Rosh disagrees with the Rambam. The Rosh in Ksubis on the next daf. And Daf Ches disagrees with the Rambam. He said, birchas erisin is not a birchas hamitzvah. What is a mitzvah to get married? The Rambam happens to hold yes. The Rambam writes that two mitzvahs, one mitzvah to get married, one mitzvah to have pirvirivya. The two distinct mitzvahs. But the Rosh apparently holds not so. The Rosh holds that getting married just a heksha mitzvah to have the children. The mitzvah is really pirvirivya. And getting married per se is not a mitzvah. It's only a heksha mitzvah. And he says it's not even so much of a heksha mitzvah, the Rosh writes. You can fulfill pirvirivya by having a pilegesh. Even if you hold that it's also to have a pilegesh. So you have to have marriage, we follow the Rambam. There is a minority opinion, your friend of mine, Rabbi Yankov Emden, has a famous tshuva where he writes that it's permissible to take a pilegesh. We haven't accepted most of what he said, and that's for sure we haven't accepted, that you're allowed to take a pilegesh. It's not permissible to take a pilegesh. So the Rosh writes, and even if you should assume that it's also to take a pilegesh, and the only way to have the fulfillment of the mitzvah piriviri by getting married, but that's, you're getting married just not, in order not to violate the Yisra of Pilegesh. It's an Yisra of Lasiya Kadesh, Liya Kodesh. But it's not that that's a mitzvah. So he says, you don't recite a bracha when you're just about to do a Heksha mitzvah. When you buy lulav and an esrog, you say a bracha because you need shalachem. You don't say a bracha when you do something that's necessary in order to fulfill a mitzvah. So the Rosh says, the Birchas Erisin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. It's a Birchas Shevach Vahidoyah. And then he says also, you can tell from the text of the bracha that it's not a birchas hamitzvah. You say, "Asher kedushanu b'mitzvah tzivanu al ha'arayos," that we're not permitted to marry any of the arayos. So, v'asalanu es harusos, we're not allowed to live with an arusa. So, where do you say a bracha on observing a lois esed? Where do you ever have a bracha on observing a loy sase? When a person eats kosher food, so he says, before he has the potato chips, he says, Bar Pri Hadoma. And then he says, Asher Kedushanu B'mishos B'tzivanu Shalom Lechem Acholos Asuras. When a person shaved with a razor, he says, Abach Asher Kedushanu B'mishosu, not to shave with a razor, to use an electric shaver. You never say a bracha before you're about to avoid violation of a loy sase. So why should we say a bracha here? B'tzivanu Alho Aroyos V'asalanu Asarusos. Doesn't make any sense. So the Chasam Sofer has in his Chuvis a suggestion that the word Arayas doesn't mean Gili Arayas, that you're not allowed to marry your sister and your mother and your daughter and so on. He says Arayas means to hug your wife. It's Yivanu Ala Arayas, because it's a pasuk in Dibra Yomim that describes the Orin and the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Beis HaMikdosh, that the Kruvim were hugging each other, Kima'ar Ish Viliv Yosa, like a husband hugs his wife. Kima'ar Ish Viliv Yosa. So the Chasam Sofer is probably out there, Chapshepu. Chasam Sofer writes that that's the pshat. V'tzivanu al ha'royas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to hug our wives. There's such a mitzvah. V'tzivanu, there's a mitzvah, you have to hug your wife once a day, every day. Any mitzvah that it doesn't say when, you have to do once a day, every day. How often do you have to hug your wife? If she needs a hug, so you give her a hug? Okay. So the Pashup pshat is like the Rosh said, V'tzivanu al ha'royas. Ha'royas means gili ha'royas. That's what the Rosh asks. Since when do you say a bracha on an Easter? The whole bracha doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Rosh says. No, it's a birchas hashevach. Birchas shevach v'hidoya. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us a whole different style of living. He gave us everything different. He gave us all of these wonderful mitzvahs. So Rav Avvalo Soloveitchik suggests, according to the Rambam, that the birchas erisin is a birchas hamitzvah. So why do you put in all of these things? It's one of our rois, v'asalana sarusais. So Rav Avvalo suggested that maybe the reason why we have such a long Nusach HaBracha is to emphasize that this is an Ishus Yisrael as opposed to an Ishus Bnei Noach. Bnei Noach also have Ishus. They also have a Din of Eshus Ish. That is one of the Sheven Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. You're not allowed to take an Eshus Ish. But they have an Ishus Bnei Noach. We have an Ishus Yisrael. So when we're really saying, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu, we don't finish off the sentence, V'tzivanu L'kadosh Esu Isha. The Rambam holds that getting married is one mitzvah and having children another mitzvah. So the bracha really is over getting married. And we say, Mekadosh Am Yisrael Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the Jewish people by giving us the mitzvah of having Chupa V'Kiddushin. So the Rambam holds that the Birchas Erisin is the Birchas HaMitzvah over the mitzvah of getting married. But the reason why we mention in the middle of this long bracha the Aroyas with the Erisin is to bring emphasize the differences between Ishus Yisrael and Ishus Bnei Noach. That Ishus Bnei Noach, there's no concept of Arusa. The Gemara says, Nichnasa l'chupa v'lo niva lo ein lahem. They only have Bula's Baal, and they only have Nisud right away. They don't have Erisin. We have Erisin. We have a different table of Arayas from the Bnei Noach. Like Rav Avvalo said over here, you know, they don't have Isha Bita, Isha Vachais, and so on. They have a different list of Gili Arayas. So we include these Isurim into the Nusach HaBracha in order to describe the fact that we are making an Ishus Yisrael. There is a medrash on the pasuk in today's Sedmer Chayisar that why did Eliezer take Asor Gmali Migmali Adonov? Why did he need 10 camels? So there's a medrash that says that he needed 10 men for the minyan because he was going to say Birchas Erisin. Vayvarchu Es Rivka. Tosfos says later in Tzumos, Vayvarchu Es Rivka. Mikan, from this pasuk, we derive that you recite the Birchas Erisin even when the Shliach is Mekadosh HaSeisha. Not only when a man is Mekadosh HaSeisha in person, but the Shliach is Mekadosh HaSeisha is also the Kiddusha Nachal, and you can say the Bracha. So Eliezer was Mekadosh, that's how the Tosfos quotes a Medrash like that. And the next daf, in Daf Ches, in Ksubas. Eliezer took along a minion in order to be able to recite the Birchas Erisin Basar. Yeah, in Shulchan Aruch it says that you need a minyan for Birchas Nisuin. That's the Ikuv. If you don't have a minyan, you can't recite the Birchas Nisuin. The Birchas Erisin that you need a minyan, that's only Lachatchila. If there's any Shasat Chak, so you can say the Birchas Erisin without a minyan. By us, it's not going to help. You have a Shasat Chak, but you can't say the Birchas Nisuin. So you can't have a Chuppah without a minyan. Because we have all the time the Erisin and Nisuin one after the other. This is relevant years ago, and you used to have Erisin now and Nisuin later. So if it's any slight Shasat Chak, so you can have the Erisin now, with the Birchas Erisin, even if you don't have a minyan, you just need two kosher Eidim. And then you'll do the Nisuin later, you'll get a minyan for that. Yeah, Bizman Azeh is not going to help, because it says in the Shulchan, it says in the Masechas Kala, Kala B'loi Bracha, Asura Labailo Kinido. So in Ebenezer, they quote a Machlokes Achreinim, I think, about that. I don't think it's Rishon. They quote a Machlokes Achreinim. How do you translate the words Kala Beloy Brocha Asura Labailo Kinido? Kala Beloy Brocha means literally they didn't say Brichas Nisuin. Let's say they had the whole wedding ceremony, and the rabbi who was supposed to say the Brichas Nisuin fumbled and he said everything wrong. He said every bracha, he made so many mistakes that you just were not yotze with the bracha. So the chasen kala, asur labailo kenida, but they had the canopy, they were standing under the canopy, they had the nisuin, they just didn't have the bracha. So many understand literally beloy bracha, if they didn't say the Brichas Nisuin, asur labailo kenida. And others say, no, it means kala beloy nisuin. Arusos asur labailo, once you have nisuin, you berus labailo, the bracha is not miyake. Just like if you took Nativos Lulav, the bracha is not miyake, the Gemara says, the mitzvah is ben atar, the bracha is ben the rabbanah, so the bracha is not miyakim. So here also, any poskim hold that the brichas nisuin is not miyakim, once you did nisuin, so she's already mitaris lebar. If you are like that, then it'll be relevant as man hazeh. Let's say it's a big shas atchak, there just is no minyan. There is no minyan here. So brichas erisin, whenever there's a shas atchak, you can say without a minyan. You have to have two kosher eidim, that you need. You don't have two kosher eidim, the kedushin is not chal. But if you don't have the minyan, you just don't say the Brichas Nisuin at all. But the question is, can you perform a Nisuin without having any Brichas Nisuin? Will it have any tokif? Will it have any validity? Will it should be Muteris Lebaila? Will it should be Asura Lebaila? So that's what the Beis Shmuel points out, the Machlokes Achreinim. He points it out in the Shulchan Aruch. In the biography of the Avnei Nezer, they point out that when he was a young boy, he was very, he always very sharp. So they asked him Akasha that when Adam Arishan got married to Chava, who were the Eidei Kiddushin? There was nobody around. Who were the Eidei Kiddushin? How could they get married? So he was very sharp, a little kid. So he said that the Gemara asked Akasha, what do you need Eidei Kiddushin for? Eidei Kiddushin, the need for Eidei Kiddushin is learned out of Gzereshava Dover Dover Mimomen. It says, Kimotsubo Ervas Dover. It says Alpi Shnei Edim or Shlosha Edim Yochum Dovah. So just like by Dina Mominus, you need two Edim. So too by Kiddushin, you need Edus Lekim Adov. You need two Edim. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, but since you're learning out from Dina Mominus, so why not say that Hoidos Baldin is good? Hoidos Baldin is good in Mominus. So let Hoidos Baldin be good by Kiddushin. So the Gemara says no, it's no good because it's Chav Lachrini. So he said as a little child, when Adam Rishon got married, there were no other people in the world. So it wasn't Chav Lachrin. So therefore, he didn't need any Eidus Lekim Adov. Yeah. That's very sharp for a young boy. That's a good answer on the level of the age that he was at. What's the correct answer? The correct answer is, as the Rambam writes in the opening lines, in Hilchos Ishus, that Kodem Matan Torah was Ishus Bnei Noach. Ishus Bnei Noach never needs Eidus Lekim Adov. If a man decides to marry the girl, they both agree, they're both in agreement, so they do bulas bal yeshlem, this issue is biya, there's no kesef eshtad, there's only biya. And he says, who vehi? The Rambam writes, after Matan Torah, now there are three ways to make kiddushin, and there's eris and then nisuin. And after Matan Torah, you need eidus lekim adov. But kodem Matan Torah, there was no such need. There was no such halacha bechlal that you should need eidus lekim adov. The Poshe Pshat in the Pasuk by Vayivochu as Rivka, Tesis quotes the Medrash from the Pirka de Ablezer, by Vayivochu as Rivka means that you say a Birchas Erisin even when the Shliach is Mekadosh. But the Poshe Pshat in the Pasuk by Vayivochu as Rivka, Vayom Allah Haseinu, Atayili Alfi Rivava, that wasn't Birchas HaMitzvah, Bracha to Hashem Yisborach. By Vayivochu as Rivka, they gave the blessing to Rivka that she should have a lot of babies. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's our practice, Bizman Hazeh. When the chosin goes to the badekin and he covers the kala's face with the veil, so the meaning is that the rabbonim go along and they give the kala bracha and they mention this pasuk or a similar pasuk, atayili alfi revova, a similar psukim. He's supposed to give the kala a bracha, the couple a bracha, that they should have a lot of children. The end of the parasha, it says when Eliezer was coming back to Eretz Yisrael with Rivka, so when she saw her husband, she realized that she saw from a distance, she realized that that was Yitzchak. So it says, "V'tikach hatzoy v'atiskos." So on Shulchan Aruch, they quote, she covered her face with the veil. So on Shulchan Aruch, they quote that some claim that that's the practice that we have, that we cover the kala's face with a veil, b'shum tznius, is based on that pasuk. Others give other reasons why others say that that constitutes the Nisuin. You mentioned the three different opinions, five different opinions. What constitutes Nisuin? So one of the opinions is that it's the Badekin, and the Chosin has to do the Badekin. And others say no, Chosin doesn't have to go to the Badekin. The Rabbanim Badek the Kala. And the covering of the Kala's face maybe is because of, based on this Pasuk, Mishum Tznius, that the first time Badavka the Chosin shouldn't be there by the Badek. The first time she meets the Chosin, she should be wearing a veil, Mishum Tznius. In Shulchan Aruch there's yet a third reason. The Rama has a third reason why they have a veil to cover the Kala's face, so she shouldn't be able to see the ring. Because if she'll see this gem on the ring, she'll think Neodea how valuable this ring is, and maybe that the ring is only worth Shavaputa, it's not worth so much. She'll recover her face, so she won't be able to see the ring, so she won't be able to make a mistake regarding the value of the ring. That's why the Rama writes another meaning, that the Masada Kedushin says a little bit out loud, he asks the witnesses, is it Shavaputa? The witnesses see, it's a ring like all rings, of course, it's much more than a Shavaputa. So he said there's a meaning that the rabbi asks out loud the Shavaputa, and they say yes, so that the girl should have in mind, the girl should realize that she's agreeing to the issues, even if it turns out that it's only a Shavaputa. Shouldn't make any mistake and think that she's only agreeing to the Kiddushin because she thinks it's worth thousands of dollars. She should realize that it's worth less, she wouldn't have agreed to the Kiddushin. The Gemara says that's the reason for Beishamai Shita. Beisilul Paskin, that Kiddushin is Beputa B'Shavaputa. Beishamai said B'dina or B'Shavadina. So they may feel that it's a bizoyan for a girl to agree to get married for a puta. It has to be worth something significant. A dinar is more than a puta, not that much more. Nothing there, $1,000, another couple of dollars. Okay, a couple of dollars. Sure. So the Shammai say like that. And the Gemara has dinim like that. That if the girl thought that the kesu kedushin was worth much more than it really is, then it's a question of smichas das. Even though she agreed to marry, in principle she agreed to get married to him, but she thought that she's getting married with more valuable kesef kiddushim, and it's really less valuable. So that'll pose a problem on the validity of the kiddushim. Later the Torah says that this Esav, who didn't follow the traditions of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Esav gets married to the daughter of Yishmael, Mochalas Bas Yishmael. And there are two ways to pronounce the name Mochalas. Some pronounce it Machala, some pronounce it Mochalas. So Rashi, Maril Diskin points out that Rashi has two Midrashim. Each Midrash had a different way to pronounce the name. So Rashi has one Midrash, I think that's in Parshat the end of Vayishlach, no? So one Midrash says, Hosef Risho al Rishosai. He was married to wicked women before, now he married another wicked wife. So according to that comment that the Medrash makes on the Pasuk, apparently they must have read the word machalas, nocha machla. He had previous wives which are like a machla, a sickness, a disease. Now he added on another machla, another disease. Look for the right things, not to look for silly, superficial qualities. Okay. We should all have atzlocha in getting married.